Christ Jesus. Amen. After Jesus was baptized, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels ministered to him. And he preached in Galilee, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." We are in the 40 days of Lent, which began on Ash Wednesday with the sign of the ashes and the cross upon our foreheads. The 40 days of Lent until Easter. There's actually 46 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, because Lent does not include the 6 Sundays during the Lenten season, because Sunday is always the celebration of Christ's resurrection. 40 days of Lent, the penitential season, remind us of the 40 days when the waters came down in the flood upon Noah and his family safe in the ark. We remember the 40 days when Moses was on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. We remember that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is tempted in the desert 40 days. And after Christ's resurrection, he appeared alive between his resurrection and ascension for 40 days. The number 40 always means an important moment in salvation history has happened. Thus, we honor that with our 40 days of penitence during Lent. And after Jesus had been baptized, the culmination of Epiphany, the Father's voice, the Son in the water, and the Spirit like a dove, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This prepares us for the first Sunday in Lent, because this is what is happening when Jesus in the desert is being tempted by the devil. He is the second Adam who fulfills all righteousness for us, went into the water in our place, representing all of mankind. And now he's going to take on the devil as the second Adam in our place and defeat the devil for us. We know the kingdom of heaven is near in the person of Jesus Christ. Let us look at how he defeats the devil as the second Adam, and how we can repent and believe the gospel so that it changes our lives during this Lent. So let's begin with Jesus, the second Adam. Having been baptized to fulfill all righteousness, he is now tempted by the devil for 40 days and overcame the devil's temptations. This, my friends, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promise that you heard this morning given to Abraham in Genesis 22. You see, Jesus is the seed of Abraham and the seed of the woman who comes to crush the head of the serpent, Satan. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David to Solomon to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. When God foretold to Abraham that in his seed and offspring all the nations of the world would be blessed, he was speaking about Jesus. You see, when Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac, he showed his faith. He went to Moriah to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to the Lord. By the way, Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount is in Jerusalem. And right near there is where God did provide the Lamb, Jesus, at Mount Calvary. This is foretelling that God would give his only Son, who would carry his cross up the hill called Mount Calvary, and there God would provide the Lamb for the sacrifice. On the Mount of the Lord, he will provide. Jesus would be that Lamb. Jesus would be the Lamb provided on that Mount. And in his offspring, that is Abraham's offspring, in the person of Jesus Christ, all the nations of the world have been blessed. And that is what is happening, the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. When Jesus, the second Adam, comes and is driven out into the wilderness to be tempted. You notice the details in Mark. After Jesus has been baptized, the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness. Believe me, nobody wants to go out into the wilderness. I've been out to this place. It's dry, dusty, rocks, weeds. It's hard to find anything to drink, and there's certainly no food. He's impelled out into the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days. Why is this? He is representing Israel, which was driven out into the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is not only the second Adam, he is the new Israel. He will even be with the wild animals out in the desert. And now he's beginning his work as the second Adam in our place. Now, it is true that Mark doesn't give us the details of the three temptations, but we're familiar in Matthew and Luke with the temptations. Satan is called the devil, an evil angel, and the chief demon. He's a liar, he's a murderer, and he wants to drag all of us into hell. He wants to destroy the work of Jesus. In the three temptations that the devil brings to him, he tells him, turn the stones to bread. You can't trust your father to take care of you. Oh, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Let's see if the angels come catch you. Oh, and if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, the devil says. Jesus would have nothing of it. All of his quotes against the devil are from the book of Deuteronomy, the word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Did you realize that the three temptations that came to Jesus, the second Adam, are exactly the same three temptations that the devil used on the first Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say you shouldn't eat from the fruit? Oh, you won't die. Don't you want to be like God and have power and kingdoms? Unlike the first Adam and Eve who fell for the temptation, the second Adam did not. Be gone, Satan. And afterwards, the angels ministered to him, which means they brought him food to eat. The second Adam was successful. He overcame the temptations of the devil on our behalf. And it's critical to understand in the life of Jesus. This is why he came. It is wrong for people to turn Jesus into their life coach. Someone who enables them to follow some principles and have their best life now. That is not why Jesus came. Jesus came to overcome the devil and undo the curse that had fallen upon us through the first Adam. And when he defeated the devil's temptations, you are connected to Jesus by faith and through holy baptism, and connected to Christ in your baptism. You have the power and the strength of Jesus when you face temptations, because he is the one who overcame all temptation for you. Jesus, the second Adam. After Jesus has completed this work, and the devil will come back again and tempt him many times in his ministry, but for now the devil leaves. Now Jesus' preaching begins. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent. John had been arrested, taken off by Herod. John was the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. John is the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus now proclaims that in him the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand in the person of Jesus. We don't have to try to find the kingdom. The kingdom comes to us in the person of Jesus. He says, repent. This means admit your sin, confess your sin. How do you know if you've sinned? It's determined by the Ten Commandments. You've had other gods. You've taken God's name in vain. You have despised the Sabbath. You've disobeyed authority. You've hated other persons and, in a sense, killed them. You've lusted in your heart and committed adultery. You've stolen. You've borne false witness. You've gossiped. And you've coveted and been envious of others. Because of our old Adam, our sinful heart, we are sinning all the time. We are forgetting to worship the Lord our God alone, and we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Contrition and sorrow for sin means being truly sorry for the sin that you have committed. There's times I go visit people in prison. And there's two types of people in prison. There's people who are sorry that they got caught, and there's people sorry for what they've done. That's the sorrow calls for by Jesus. Not sorrow that you got caught, sorrow for what you have done. And you want a change of heart. You don't want to continue to live it that way. We are plagued every day with sins of thought and word and deed. We omit helping someone and speaking up for them when we should, and then we commit all manner of sins against our brother. This is why we begin the service with a public confession of sin, and why you can come to my office in private, confidentially, and kneel at the kneeler there and confess the sins that are bothering you. There's a reason we begin the divine service with confession. We want to admit it, come clean, and after all, it's Jesus who said, repent and have a change of heart. Even this work, the work of the law, can only be done truly in one's heart by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, James said in the epistle lesson, our tendency of our sinful heart is that when we're tempted, we think it's God's fault. It isn't. No evil comes from God. But our heart lures us, entices us with desire, which gives birth to sin, James said, and then goes into death. We turn from that, and James said, we are blessed if under trial we remain steadfast and stand the test. And through faith in Jesus, who overcomes temptation for us, we receive the crown of life promised by God to those who love Him. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent every day. The kingdom of heaven is near. Believe the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the King. Where He is, there is the kingdom. The kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory. The world laughs at this. Your unbelieving friends say, right, the kingdom of God is near. Where was the kingdom of God when my best friend just got hit by a truck? Where is the kingdom of God? I just lost my job. My mother's dying of cancer, and you tell me the kingdom of God is here? People don't realize that we are living under the cross. We have to live through the suffering of this world before the crown comes. But Jesus' kingdom is here. If one's eyes would only be open to His kingdom of power, He has power in the heavens and the earth, His kingdom of grace, the word is being preached to your ears, you are taught and read the word of God, the water and word of holy baptism has touched you, the word of absolution has been pronounced to you, and you're about to receive Christ's body and blood at His altar. This is where the kingdom of God is present among us. The unbelieving world may mock us, but we believe this good news. The word gospel, by the way, means good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, born of Mary, has taken all the sins we have committed upon Himself into His body on the cross. He's wearing tattered rags of our sin on that cross. But in his resurrection and through faith in his name, he puts a royal robe of us upon us, covering our sin and covering us in the white righteousness of Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, a person who believes that with all their heart and trusts Jesus as Savior will be saved from hell and be brought to heaven. That is what justification by grace through faith means. The innocent one died for us guilty ones, so we guilty ones can be declared innocent in Jesus' righteousness. That's the good news. And it's so good, some people don't believe it. Some people say, it can't be. It can't be that easy. Well, it isn't easy. It cost Jesus his life. But believe this good news. God loves you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. So just as Jesus calls you to repent, he says, have faith. Believe this good news. Paul said, beloved brothers, when this word of truth comes to you, this good word and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. What a beautiful picture. In him there's no variation, shadows, or change. With his own will, he has brought you forth to be the first fruits of his creatures. So, my friends, the time has come to pay attention to the proclamation of the law and the gospel. Don't waste your time thinking that you don't need to repent and believe the gospel. You do. During the 40 days of Lent, with prayer and even fasting, may God enable you to realign your life in relationship to God through the person of Jesus Christ. If you've gotten off track recently, if your life is out of kilter, Lent is a perfect time to realign your life through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. After all, he's the second Adam who came to undo the curse and bring the blessing. He's overcome temptation for you. He is your righteousness. So when you face temptation, you are connected to the second Adam in your baptism, so that you can drown the old Adam and the new man can come forth. You know the word of God and you quote it right at the devil, "Be gone, Satan." And in the strength of Jesus, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. I pray for you as your pastor that this Lent will be a time when God will realign your life in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is for us the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the second Adam who has defeated Satan for us. May this be a reality in all of our lives this Lent. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his peace that transcends human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.